As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Man, there's an echo. Personal foul.
P.A.
You like that?
9 to noon.
This is an old-fashioned ass-kicking right here.
Purple Pain to SoFi Rain.
Yeah!
Yeah, but... Hashtag Faith Radio.
Shall we begin?
I knew we was gonna beat them clowns.
Oh, well.
Oh, no!
Fire away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Soft and warm, a quiet storm on a Monday at KFAN. It's Paul Allen from the 651 Carpets Studio. And this is the Love Covenant.
Welcome back to the show.
That's what this team is all about, defense and breaking hard.
Take care, Polly Wally.
Come on now, wake up.
Come on now, everybody, let's go.
What's up, K-Fan? It's 84, man. Y'all stay tuned live for the hottest man in the world, P.A., Paul Allen. Yes, sir.
Let's go now. The Monday verbal ascension is in the air. Unlike the Minnesota Vikings offense through the first two preseason games.
We don't play the PlayStation like us.
Oh, yeah? Where the L1 button is broken.
We don't play the PlayStation like us.
Man, what about my triangle? They don't play the PlayStation like us. Offensively, we're trying to play the PlayStation like us. Hey, everybody, remember this?
Second and goal for the Vikings, leading 31-29, 10-40 and counting to go in the season. Second and goal from the one offset I left. Cousins on a sneak and touchdown! Kirk Cousins with his first rushing touchdown since week one of 2019 against Atlanta has given the Vikings a 37-29 lead.
What?
Oh, my.
Hey.
Isn't that something?
It's an offensive touchdown.
Oh, boy. That was just an ugly one.
It was an offensive touchdown.
Wasn't that good?
Well, it was good, but...
Come on, man.
Sadly, it's the last time any Minnesota Vikings offensive touchdown transpired. It was in the fourth quarter, a touchdown run by Kirk Cousins against the Lions at Ford Field, 10:32 to play in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, regular season, preseason, postseason, any season, almost nine consecutive quarters of Minnesota Vikings football at any level. Sans an offensive touchdown.
The bit's not working. You know, it's not funny.
Outside of WAP. There he is. From young Kellen against Denver. We ain't even getting close. We're going to take some Minnesota Vikings preseason into regular season related phone calls about 30 minutes from now. Outside of WAP there it is. I mean, how about this from Saturday night? Minnesota Vikings on the wrong side of a 12-10 finale. The 2 and the 0. That feels like a better than average chance via Burke Super Squares to get $1 million. Because ain't nobody getting too many twos. Somebody got a two. Somebody got a two in a football game, though. It was the Vikings and the Colts. Fans in the stands. Forest for the trees. Frolicking. Congregating. And having a funky good time. Fade the music. Fire up 9 to noon. Good morning. Norto produces. The possessions, though, Saturday night. First one ended at the Minnesota 43. Then our next offensive possession, the Minnesota 32. Then we get to the Indianapolis 33-yard line, and it's a missed field goal. Oof. By Greg Joseph. It was a long one. It was of the 51-yard variety, which would have matched his career long back when he kicked with Cleveland. Believe it or not, Greg Joseph is a person. He actually kicked for Cleveland and Tennessee ever. So then after that, offensive possessions for us end at the Minnesota 25, the Minnesota 21. Then we get to the Indy 31, and we make a 49-yard field goal. Let's go. Then, next offensive possession, like right around halftime, ends at the Minnesota 47, then at the Minnesota 32, then at the Minnesota 43, then possession dead, Minnesota 46, then possession dead, Minnesota 39. Ooh! Nearing the end of the game, we cross midfield, and we got to the Indy 45. And then, with like 5 seconds left, the Minnesota 6. And there is your dagger.
But winter is coming. We know what's coming with it. We can't face it alone.
That's the end of the game. Holy cow. What do we make of all that? Phone calls 25 minutes from now. So is Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, is he really pondering playing the first offense at Kansas City? I mean, for my personal taste, if he is, that is a fat niet against anybody right now, anytime. You shut that sucker down. You work on the fillet with Dalvin and JJ. You get Adam Wright. You head to Cincinnati. And you grind out a sucker 20-16. Now, 20-16 feels like two touchdowns, two field goals, but extra point, missing terrorism. I got no idea how you get to that winner's circle, man. We just played a game where one of the teams ended with a two. I can't believe he's really pondering playing his ones against the Kansas City Chiefs in the third preseason game. But that just may have been Zim being Zim, because the continuity can be found behind the scenes as opposed to with offensive linemen and or players not playing who will play against the Cincinnati Bengals. I say you shut the sucker down. You practice it with Dalvin and JJ. You get your fillet-related plays ready. You go to Cincinnati as a small favorite, and then you make some memories. I mean, unless Zimmer's level of tripability right now with the Minnesota Vikings offense is to a stage where he's like, I'm really concerned with this entity that has not included Justin Jefferson in a game, did not include Irv Smith or Adam Thielen in one game, basically Thielen in two because he had to limp off, and no Dalvin Cook. And there ain't going to be no Dalvin Cook Friday if you play the Kansas City Chiefs, or will there? This is a tripability check for the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Mike Zimmer. The A topic from the Indianapolis Colts game, the super special 12-10 Saturday night. The Minnesota moving company you saw with Rashad Hill, left tackle, Ezra Cleveland, left guard, Garrett Bradbury, center, Ole Udo, right guard, and Brian O'Neill, right tackle, that's odds on to lead the charge at Cincinnati. Now, after a cursory review of the offensive line at all levels, including when Blake Brandel came in, somebody bragged about him on television having a wonderful game against Denver, and then he proceeded to let somebody run around him on the very first play. Mason Cole at center, Cole Cabral at center, something called Cole Cabral taking a holding penalty, nullifying a cold-blooded connection from, I believe, young Callen. So the offensive line that played Saturday night, yours truly believes, quite likely, will be the Minnesota Moving Company when we beat, play the Cincinnati Bengals. The cursory watchback, the Minnesota Vikings offensive line is having a good preseason. O'Neal, many of the players are having good preseasons. The offensive line, for the most part, for the body of the game, outside of a couple of L's left and right, the offensive line held up decently. Your quarterback, Kirk Cousins. In a cursory watchback, main man tried to force the ball to Irv Smith Jr. when he just should have dumped it to Chad Beebe to the right side and watched Chad run for 5, 10, 15, 20, ooh, make somebody miss, maybe 25. I thought Kirk missed a couple of receivers. Don't exactly know why. Don't exactly know how much I should care about it. But there were open players and pockets that were absolutely perfect for number 8. Didn't necessarily come through. Level of trippability from the head coach. Guess we'll find out on Friday night if he dusts off these ones and has them play against the Kansas City Chiefs. Excellent scene, Pearson Tomlinson. Ain't nobody running on this team up the middle. Is Nick Vigil easy to block? It's a big question because teams will keep you in base with their tight end sets, and they will run at Nick Vigil if he's easy to block. We need Anthony Barr to start practicing soon. If the offensive line off the game that ended with one team having a super special 2 at the end of the score for super squares, is the offensive line 1A, is Anthony Barr needs to start practicing soon. And Zimmer mixed in some 3-4. Many non-elite football minds identified it as a 3-3-5 nickel. It was not. It was a 3-4 defense. What does Mike Zimmer have up his sleeve for when the team heads to Cincinnati, where Zimmer was quite the accomplished defensive coordinator? Around the corner, Nordo tells us all about the week one adversary, the Cincinnati Bengals. Specifically, what are they doing over there at their right defensive end spot opposite Rashad Hill? And then we'll run some preseason phone calls after that, get a little funky at 10 o'clock, and Lavelle reportedly and allegedly wobbles into the studio about 11 o'clock for his weekly piece. It's Paul Allen from the 651 Carpets studio. What's on deck 9 to noon is courtesy of TimberTech and TimberTech.com. Love Covenant. Good morning. This is KFAN. You didn't get paid Saturday night, but you are on our minds, and we got you at about 10:15. KFAN. Mondi X, don't miss that 10:15. Roster moves, courtesy of Doherty, the employment services. Roster moves include speculation and fact. But when Courtney Cronin, a weekly piece, 9 to noon and or with Bumper to Bumper with Barrero, Courtney Cronin, ESPN. She covers the Minnesota Vikings for said juggernaut. Courtney, as reported via Twitter 35 minutes ago, the Minnesota Vikings are very close to reuniting with pass rushing demon and a pass rushing specialist, Everson Griffin. like 74 and a half sacks in his time with the Minnesota Vikings. That is a report, but it also is part of potential roster moves, courtesy of Doherty. A couple of your favorite Vikings, Warren Jackson, a 6'6 wide receiver, and a corner slash DB, Dylan Maben. Well, they've taken roster-related L's. They are no longer on the Minnesota Vikings. Roster moves each and every Monday, segment two, courtesy of Doherty Employment Services. If you are involved in hiring for a company and you are looking for the perfect employee, use Doherty. Or if you are looking for a job, if you are part of the ranks of the jobless, it's free to go to Doherty.com, Doherty.com. Go to Doherty.com, look for that job, or find the right employee with Doherty Employment Services. So, off to Cincinnati in about a month, a little less than a month, to start the 2021 regular season.
It's 20 days, PA.
20 days, fewer than 3 weeks, what we say in the business. And as I said on television and radio Saturday, as I'm sharing now, I truly believe because of the L-related groin that is first-round pick Christian Darrisaw and all of the time lost in the offseason, organized team activities and mini camp and rookie camp and training camp over there on the Mike Hughes Memorial, Wyatt Davis too far behind the cliched eight ball to beat out Ole Udo for the right guard spot. Now, I mean, that's under the assumption because at the amateur level, you were whatever offensive lineman of the year that you're going to get up to the professional level and it's just going to translate. The hope is it does, or you don't get taken in the third round.
I thought he looked good again on Saturday night, though. Overall, I think he's put together two very solid preseason games.
Maybe there is time for young Wyatt to run down young Ole Udo. But
Udo looked good, though, too.
At minus 770, the comeback being plus 580 if you don't think this is right. The minus 770 is Hill into Ezra, into Bradbury, into Ole Udo, into Brian O'Neill. So then you'll have a right guard making not a regular season debut because he started, but he played a lot in that flim-flam a few years ago against the Bears week 17, where like Khalil Mack actually played in the game for a non-playoff bound Bears team. And then the entire offseason, we kept hearing what wonderful work Ole Udo did against Khalil Mack. But then with a quick cursory look back, because you see that's available for everybody, Khalil Mack's sole purpose in that game was to not get hurt and have to rehab the entire offseason in a non-playoff offseason. So, copyright bump? It all depends on whose ox is being gored. And then, so that could be the Minnesota Moving Company taking on the Cincinnati Bengals team that is also of the non-playoff variety, 20 days from now. Let's go to the Bengals preview desk. And here is the emerging leader of the Mondiac fan club. His name is Nordo.
My God, do the Bengals love their first team defense, PA. They are hot right now.
What happened?
I do want to put out negative intel on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
This third round pass rusher, Joseph Osai, and I think he's from Texas, but he was fantastic. Game-changing, pushing right away to start, all of those things. Sounds like he tore his meniscus.
Hey.
So there's going to be surgery.
He plays right defensive end?
He's on the line. He might be the right defensive end opposite. No, it might be Trey Hendrickson, so he'd play on the left side.
Ooh, Trey Hendrickson with the ski mask and the big year with the New Orleans Saints, and he got paid like Maurer in 09 hitting those home runs, though.
Yeah, it's one of the great con games, at least this last NFL offseason. But Joseph Osai, in the meniscus game, I think it's if you don't get the surgery and let it rehab, maybe it's 8-10 weeks, but if you get the surgery, it's longer. So he's opting for surgery to get right, so he might be out for the entire season. Now, with that said, Bengals loving their first-team defense. Just reading through the Cincinnati Inquirer, I believe it's Cincinnati.com. Man, they were in love with this unit. Gave up a 28-yard play from Fitzy to Logan Thomas on Friday night on the first play.
Mm-hmm.
But then they shut it down.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It was three and out after that first down. First and 10 on their next possession at the Cincy 45. Turned it over on downs at the Cincy 23 as Washington attempted to run on fourth and one. DJ Reader wasn't having it.
DJ Reader, the former Texan, I think.
The next possession, third, three and a fumble.
Oh.
Mike Hilton recovers the fumble, turns it over,
hey.
And then the reserves came in, and then ultimately Washington won the game 17-13.
Cincinnati Bengals fan line underway. Your host is Nordo. Boomer Esiason joining us later. Likewise for Ken Anderson. Back to Nordo.
The Cincinnati Moving Company, the Queen City operation on the offensive line.
Yep.
They played just more than a quarter, I believe, on Friday against Washington. But the group that we're anticipating seeing week one, 20 wow. days from now, Jonah Williams at left tackle, Quentin Spain, left guard, Trey Hopkins, their center. They like him. Michael Jordan, no, not that one, at right guard. And Riley Reiff. Riley Reiff, you're starting right tackle.
Riley Reiff against Daniil. Holy cow.
So I'm sure that's going to end well. But so far, again, that's my favorite thing about a team that had the first overall pick a year ago
yeah.
with Joe Burrow is that they're really, really excited about their team. Jamar Chase.
What about Joe Burrow up that ACL?
Hasn't played.
Wonder if he's going to absolutely play in our game.
That's a good question. As of now, he's in practice every day. He started out terrible. They were writing blog pieces and bits online every single day about how terrible that Bengals offense was with Joe Burrow.
Randy Moss's kid is a fifth tight end, Thaddeus Moss.
He certainly is. The Jamar Chase connection.
Yeah. Jamar Chase, though.
He was targeted three times, zero catches on Friday night, courtesy of Brandon Allen. Hey, we're going to get to see Kyle Shurmur. He's their third-string quarterback. He was 4-4 for 23 yards. You mentioned the right defensive end spot. As of now, it's listed as Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
And he operates opposite Sam Hubbard. It is DJ Reader and Larry Ogunjobi on the interior. Their cornerbacks right now, Ricardo Allen. If you remember, he became available from the Falcons after a long career in Atlanta. He's currently injured. Backup cornerbacks, Eli Apple. As well, he's out, but it's okay because they have Trey Waynes and Shadobi Awuzie
yeah.
as their starting corners, PA.
Yeah.
Trey Waynes has been nicked up in camp, but he's back from that pec injury he suffered a year ago. Then you got Jesse Bates. You got Mike Hilton in the mix. Von Bell rounding out that defense, and you've never heard of any of their linebackers, so don't worry about them. Outside of that, CJ Uzomah, he might be battling with Thaddeus Moss for targets from Joe Burrow this season.
Boy, you ain't kidding about those linebackers.
How about that? Logan Wilson.
Jermaine Pratt.
You have no idea who those individuals are.
Akeem Davis Gaither. Jordan Evans. Noah Spence stands up and plays a little bit of linebacker.
Well, and they got Noah Spence because of the Osai injury.
Oh.
So Noah Spence, NFL veteran, still out on the street
yeah.
as of mid-August 2021, now a member of the Bengals due to that injury.
Mm.
Other than that, the offense is a lot like the Vikings, PA. We haven't seen anything because Joe Burrow hasn't played. They've limited the reps of Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. You're not going to see much of that. Joe Mixon comes in, has a cup of coffee and leaves type of thing. That's the intel courtesy of the Cincinnati Bengals, our week one opponent. They're pumped. That first-team defense. Watch out, Trey Hendrickson with a new team and a massive bank account trying to get around our Minnesota Moving Company to sack Kirk.
We ain't taking any Vikings-related phone calls up to the season, and we're off to the State Fair on Thursday, and we're quite busy on Tuesday and Wednesday around the Love Covenant neighborhood. So if anybody has any thoughts on what you have seen, what you have heard, and what you think, really from free agency through the draft, through the groins, through the Mike Hughes Memorial Field, through the mask or no mask, and anything that that is heading up to Vikings 2021 season, would love to chat with you if you got something on your mind. 800-320-5326, 651-989-5326. Take your phone calls if you're hip on it, walking up to the 10 o'clock at FM 100.3 KFAN. It's the 9 to noon Love Covenant on KFAN.
On the Fan.
Let's chat about those Minnesota Vikings. Maybe it's a social piece for yours truly. Chatting with people about Vikings football. X amount of hours in front of the Great Minnesota Clomp Fest. It's a training race.
I've been down and I'm wondering why these little black clouds keep walking around me.
Say 800-320-5326, 651-989-5326. You got something on your mind? We will chat with you and say hello. Hey, Phil, what's going on? Welcome to the radio show. How are you?
Hey, Paul, it's Phil from New Jersey. We've met a bunch of times at different road games and stuff, but I didn't watch the game. It wasn't on. It's on the NFL Network. I think it was on 4:30 this morning, so I watched it when I got home. I was a little disappointed watching the tweets and the text and stuff, but I hear the right side and the starting offensive line played good. Give me some hope.
Starting offensive line played well. The offensive line, the majority of the preseason, has done what it's supposed to do. Now, Indy, you know, after the Kentucky kid got 100 on 25 against Denver, the Colts actually, when A.J. Rose was in the game, they actually flooded the box, you know, guessing runs and kind of slowed that a little bit. But overall, when you go play action and you're not going play action to Dalvin Cook, ain't nobody biting. So that's like Friday, Zimmer got a little, got a little loud after the game being like, concerns about the offense off a couple of preseason games, maybe undoubtedly some things he's seen behind the scenes. But if he truly is pondering playing his best offensive players in that final preseason game at Kansas City, what are you going to get out of it if you don't play Dalvin? Because if you don't play Dalvin, then you can't go play action, because ain't nobody biting on play action to anybody else except Dalvin Cook. And then forget the injury part. We ain't going to live in fear like that. But what if you use your first offense, your first line, your first quarterback, just what you saw at 4:30 in the morning Eastern or Saturday night 7 at the Palatial Purple Paradise? What if you use all those players? Thielen ain't playing Friday night, you know, regardless if Zimmer wants to use the ones or not. He ain't going to play. So now you won't have Jefferson, you won't have Thielen, and you won't have Dalvin. So truly, what is there to accomplish? Specifically, if Andy Reid uses his backup defense and then you don't move against that defense. So it's, I'm out on it. If he does it, cool, but I'm out on it. Just work that thing behind the scenes. These plays that you know they have, they're not going to show in the preseason. Let's just hope they work when we get to Cincinnati. But we have a new offensive coordinator calling plays for the first time in his career. We have a new offensive line coach thrust into full-time duty due to the vaccination or non-vax Al. We have a new wide receivers coach, Keenan McCardell, super well-respected. Everybody seems to love him, but he's new here. And we have a new quarterbacks coach, Andrew Janoco, worked with the offensive line and with the wide receivers. Now he's the QB's coach. So Zimmer knows that's not, you just don't snap and all of that works. I just, I've slow played it because I'm not panic guy, but I've slow played it all off season off either what I've seen or what I've heard. And I have no problem sharing it. It's my opinion. This has been the least descript, explosive, and consistent offseason I've seen from Kirk Cousins in all the off seasons he's been here. And that's under the cover of darkness when it's just me watching on non-media days. And then, so now he gets those reps in the Saturday night game, and I watch it back, and I mean, we're not grading these performances, prognosticating what's going to happen at Cincy or at Arizona or when the Chickens get here or when Stefanski rolls in trying to score 50 on somebody or chew the clock and win 9-3 and never let you get the ball with his running backs. It's going to be one of the two. But there were just a couple of plays with Cousins where the pocket was just beautiful, man. And then he floated out to the right once. I'm like, there's BB, man. I mean, There's Chad. He's wide open right in front of you. Just throw it to him. And he tried to force it into Irv Smith Jr., but it's preseason. Maybe those were the instructions to get it to Irv, even though he had some rube all over him in legal fashion. It was tough to get it there. I can't believe that's the case. So there are just little things like that off which, you know, that or on which I and we can nitpick. But I wanted to see Kirk do a little lights out routine with a couple of intermediates to deeps, and maybe with Thielen hobbled and JJ not playing, then maybe that's impossible. Then don't tell me about Amir Smith-Marset's double moves and his speed and KJ Osborne being the next great Kane receiver to follow Michael Irvin and then not run anything deep and give the fans a chance to see a quarterback, when protected with an extremely accurate deep arm, at least take a shot. So I'm just a little confused right now with the whole equation. Warren?
Yeah, there's some couple things in this preseason that don't make any sense. One is you have Nate Stanley, a 240-pound quarterback who's got a great arm, who can actually run the football. You're not using him, and you have a draft choice invested. Two, Ole Udo should be starting on the outside where Hill is. Hill shouldn't be on the team because he's been on the team for a while, proven he's not an NFL-quality player. And you put your Davis in. Davis, even though Davis is a good player, first play he came in the game, when he started, he was partially responsible for a sack. That's the thing. Udo will make a huge difference on this team. One other thing I was going to ask you. I don't understand why you think Hendrickson isn't any good. I watched every game of New Orleans.
Yeah.
He's an outstanding pass rusher, and the reason he was getting sacks is he was beating some of the best tackles in the league. And for the money he's getting paid, that's a guy the Vikes should have had because he can get to the quarterback. Well, tell me why you don't think Hendrickson's very good. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, appreciate you, man, and undoubtedly we'll see you out there at the State Fair. Well, the only question you asked me is actually you guessing that I don't think Trey Hendrickson is good, because I do. Now, to get the money he got off a season where he had more than double the sacks in one season than he had the previous 3 years of his career, that has a little boondoggle to it. Now, he's young in his career. He's heading into his fifth year. Why the Vikings didn't seek the services of Trey Hendrickson, I would imagine, is they spent money on Dalvin Tomlinson, and they spent money on Patrick Peterson, just a little bit on Xavier Woods and so on, or maybe they don't like him. Now, Trey, the book on Trey is he's not the greatest against the run the NFL has ever seen. But you know what? He hangs 13 and a half sacks in 15 games, even though in his previous 20 games, he had 6.5 sacks. That has a little boondoggle to it. That's a little by ferocity faith. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't mind Trey Hendrickson on the Minnesota Vikings. You can't say that I don't think he's any good, but just for what it is right there, 13.5 sacks in 15 games, and in 20 games over 3 years, 6.5 sacks. Now, he only played 5 games in 2018. Feels like an injury. By the way, through 4 years, he's never played a complete season.
Yeah.
All 16 games.
And his 12 and change cap hit this year, followed by 14.5, 15.5, and 17.5. Ooh. Pick a member of that defensive line that you don't want to be there anymore.
Thank you. Perfectly stated. Because Pierce, even with the COVID opt-out, still gets paid.
Yeah.
And Dalvin Tomlinson got paid, and Danielle Hunter gets paid. And now Everson Griffin reportedly through CC, Courtney Cronin, who's in studio 9 to noon Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Everson Griffin's going to get himself a little bit of money, but the money Everson is going to get, or DJ Wanham does get, or Weatherly did get, or Jones and or Robinson, none of that matters for the price tag that you would give to Trey Hendrickson. So good luck to Trey. He's going to be opposite Rashad Hill first game of the season. But it ain't just going to be Rashad. It's going to be another tight end and CJ Ham working on Hendrickson to keep him off Cuz Buzz. It's compelling. It's stimulating. It's the fan. Now, that right defensive end spot, assuming what Courtney breaks, tweets, and or writes is accurate, which I mean, she's a 99.8%er here with this accuracy, Everson would be in the yoke now, which means his entire 2021 salary is guaranteed. So with players like Larry Fitzgerald Jr., Adrian Peterson, Everson Griffin, players like that, if you sign them after week one, there could be a bidding war, but their salaries also are not guaranteed for the season. If this intel is accurate, then the Vikings are going to guarantee Everson his money for the entire season. That's a key point, because all offseason, 9 to noon has shared, they may be a pass rusher short. You've heard that a lot, 9 to noon. So now you practice, you have training camp, you have the joint practices, then the games. DJ Wonnum played a lot longer Saturday night than I thought he was going to. Steven Weatherly also played a little longer on Saturday night than I thought he would. Patrick Jones was scratched, and I don't exactly know why. Janaris Robinson, the fifth-round rookie from Florida State, can't remember if he was scratched, but I can't remember if he played. So there's a tell here. There is a tell by signing Everson Griffin that whatever red chips you had in front of you, when the decision came all the way around to you, you have said all in. And you have shoved everything all in defensively. With Griffin joining Pierce and Tomlinson and Danielle Hunter. And even though he hasn't played since playing for the Lions last year, assuming the intel is correct, do we make Everson favored to start right defensive end when the team goes to Cincinnati? Or is it Weatherly, or is it DJ Wonnum? I mean, DJ Wonnum, that's a big man right here, only in his second year. So he has a right to improve, though.
That's what I was curious about. When I see DJ Wonnum, I see him as a pass rushing demon. Like, he looks to me the part of being a guy that's over there and he's going to harass quarterbacks all year round. Mm-hmm. But is his game well-rounded enough to actually be in that spot and play, let's say, 600-700 snaps over the course of a season?
Yeah.
And so that's what worries me the most, and you nailed it. With adding Everson to the mix, my preferred right now, I think DJ Wonnum's a better pass rusher than Weatherly. I think, like, after Hunter, I see more flash, I see more burst, the first step is more explosive. Like, DJ Wonnum's that guy. But can he do everything? And right now, I'm just curious, from like a size standpoint alone, is DJ Wonnum going to be a guy that's always getting washed out against the run, where you get road grading tackles on him and he just gets pushed back, and that's always going to be a limitation for him? Because he is slender.
Yeah.
He isn't the biggest cat in the world, but he's got those moves from a pass rushing standpoint.
Yeah.
And so is he a liability when you think about just a well-rounded, high-quality defensive end like Everson was here for a large part of his tenure?
Yeah, I can't answer that about DJ because I've never asked, and I'm not going to guess. But I will get the answer for you, DJ versus the run. So, but DJ stays, and
yeah.
Weatherly stays, and Everson, I mean,
he's here.
If they're signing him, and he's going to get his full season guaranteed, I mean, this is by football faith here. You know, because there have been some off-field situations that definitely bear following and are part of the past performances. And where he is in his career, obviously the workout, the tenacity, and the desire to play for this team and come back home supersedes for some the negatives of whatever are part of the past performances.
Yeah.
But somebody's out. So somebody's out now. Where Patrick Jones, Janaris Robinson, Weatherly, one of them's out.
And Janaris did get snaps on Saturday night.
Okay, well.
Very limited, however. I think he's had one tackle in the game.
Okay. I mean, Robinson or Jones to the practice squad no longer will be Minnesota Vikings. So I'm curious what they're doing here. Five defensive ends would get you Griffin, Wonnum, Weatherly, one of the kids, and Hunter. Now, that's five defensive ends.
Ooh.
So five defensive tackles get you Beefeater, former Giant. Armin Watts goes nowhere. He's really standing up nicely at that nose tackle spot. He's holding up. Sheldon Richardson. And,
ooh.
See, with all due respect, when we talk like this, we ain't trying to hurt feelings or anything. I don't need James Lynch. Okay, so Lynch is out. I mean, that for me, the 10,000-foot view, just a rube with three chins and a microphone. A rube with three chins and a microphone. A rube with three chins and a microphone.
And God bless Jordan Scott, who got that pick. It ain't happening.
It's practice squad.
I mean, as
he's 6'6", right? Or 62?
66.
Yeah, 66, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's he has some Casey Hampton fire hydrant to him. So he needs to be in the yoke, but on the practice squad.
So have they ever attempted, like, Hercules would move inside? Have they ever done that with Jalen Holmes at all? Because Holmes is just sitting out there.
What are we doing?
On an island, and I just, he's never splashed with this team.
Right. And in fairness, FIJA, Fairness and Jalen Holmes Act, he came into the NFL playing one position. They changed it. Then they changed it back.
Yeah.
And they may have moved it again. So Jalen, if Jalen is cut, Jalen gets picked up. If Mata'afa is cut, does he get picked up? So assuming double C is accurate and Everson's going to be on the team, somebody is taking a fat L we did not see coming, at least into the Indianapolis Colts game.
Could you go 6-4 in terms
after
of...
After the first 10 games? That's super negative.
I mean...
Pass
rushers to beef eaters.
Oh, I see.
We don't want to go 6-4.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Because then you're either keeping both the kids or Jalen Holmes walks on water on Friday and you love him.
Put this one in your back pocket. It's the 9 to noon non-obvious. When I watch back the...
Hold on, I'm going to tweet this.
Watch back the Vikings-Colts, Zimmer threw out some 3-4.
Ooh.
Okay, now... Zimmer threw out some 3-4 defense.
A NASCAR package?
When he disguised it, okay? And let's just say I heard that it was like Vikings go nickel. It wasn't nickel. It was a 3-4 defense. Main man has something up his sleeve this season with these players that he's bringing in and where he's going to use them.
Paul Gunther, though.
Paul Gunther coming in with the 3-4 from the Raiders where the defense was terrible.
He never sleeps on defense.
How about Gunther? Becomes the defensive coordinator for the then Oakland Raiders. Oh, yeah, in 2018.
Yep.
Entire offseason, OTAs, minicamp, rookie camp, training camp. And then all of a sudden, they trade Khalil Mack. Hey, Paul Allen, you're the new defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Excellent. I've been waiting for this all my life. A week in front of the season, trading Daniil. What happened? What happened? How am I going to become a head coach if I don't have 99 or 52 rushing the quarterback ever? 9 to noon, FM 100.3, KFAN. Ooh, somebody got sneaking in here real quick. Easy, what's going on, Easy?
Hey, what's up, PA? How's it going?
Easy, man. It ain't easy being easy.
It's never easy.
What's on your mind, man? I got like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'm just one of the Mondiacs out here, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were on him. It's been hard to analyze his preseason so far, but for some reason he still looks kind of smooth and cool, calm, and collected, but a lot still coming at him, so it's been hard to analyze where he's at and where he's going.
Which, you broke up. Which player was that?
Mondiac.
I'm a Mondiac, Mondiac to the core.
With St. Paul, the Fan.
Flying high at SoFi. From mosquitoes and leeches to fake boobs and beaches. Get your kicks at Super Bowl 56. Feeling alive on the 405.
Hey, so I was reading this, PA, following the first preseason game for the Los Angeles Rams. And I think that this, you want to talk about inside intel and advanced planning for a Minnesota Vikings fan base. Because in February of 22, when you're wondering about how do we...
Something good in Inglewood.
Enjoy the fruits of Super Bowl 56. What's it going to be like? Now, you know where SoFi Stadium is, right? And it's next door. Does Hollywood Park still operate?
Nope. Hollywood Park destroyed, and SoFi was put on the premise of Hollywood Park, where I worked for 5 years.
And there's still a portion of that facility that still exists, and I think there might be even like a casino hotel that's maybe on the south end of it. But it's good. That's my key here, is that you living in Southern California, you are very familiar with that area.
Right around the corner on Manchester, just a little bit to the west, Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Absolutely.
One of the great restaurants I've ever been to in my life.
Courtesy of Kevin Modesty of the Orange County Register.
I worked with Kevin Modesty for 5 years when I wrote for the Pasadena Star News.
He starts out his article stating, love the place, hate the parking.
Oh my gosh. Above average at that.
So how lo-fi is SoFi?
Really?
As their effective grand opening, their debut, the maiden voyage, the champagne bottle smashed on the boat, the new palace.
Yeah.
Stan Kroenke, who, by the way, he's still being sued by the city of St. Louis, but he's loving his new spot out in L.A.
So Kevin Modesty is saying the parking around SoFi is of the Fat L variety, because I would completely believe that with Manchester on one side, Manchester Boulevard, which goes from the 405 all the way up to the Harbor Freeway, which runs into Los Angeles proper. And the other street, I can't remember what it is, Prairie something maybe.
Well, picture a concept where putting new stadium in that area, no one's ever driven there for football before, which means the majority of football fans that are going there are driving there for the very first time.
It's like Abbott having to lug everything from that side parking spot at U.S. Bank Stadium with a bad foot.
Just dragging it.
Across the train tracks to get stuck.
Just dragging it.
Between the track and like the dirt.
This club foot.
My foot stuck. Can you help me?
A mix of Mr. Modesty's opinions with some social media users and Rams fans. The parking was extremely difficult to get in and get out. Got there at 5:15-ish, left around 8 minutes into the game. The parking zone we got were actually good spots. It's just too cramped to get in and get out.
Okay, Modesty, Orange County Register, right?
Yes.
Now, so he's not there. So he's there. Is he a columnist? Or is he, I mean, like if he leaves, gets there late, leaves early, whatever, is he like just doing the lo-fi at SoFi bit to write about it? Or
is he
covering the game?
I believe he was covering the game. That was from, he took fan polls, reader comments, and all of those things.
Got you.
So he was covering the game.
And we all know fans in the age of rage are going to skew the way of keeping, I'm going to keep my mind open to things getting better, and things are actually positive.
Yes. Not in this particular case, however.
Yeah.
This is a note from a reader. Getting out of the lot after the game was horrible. The issues with Hollywood Park Racetrack back in the day was that large crowds remained. Took almost 45 minutes to get to Pinkay Drive out of lot. Crenshaw North was slow, but
Crenshaw
moved.
That's the street I was looking for. So it goes Manchester, and then Crenshaw runs parallel to it. And the biggest problem parking at Hollywood Park was having my freaking car broken into twice over the course of 5 years. That was the biggest problem.
If you at that point, just leave the windows down, right?
I upgraded to a Pinto. So you can go ahead and take whatever you want.
This is a key for Vikings fans. Tailgate parking is cramped. No way to fit a pop-up and a car fully in one of those tiny spaces. It is a joke. So,
okay, what's a pop-up?
Like a little pop-up camper, maybe, or something like that.
Who the hell is bringing a camper into...
It might be a tent as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you want to pop a tent, if you want to bring a pop-up... if we're at Arrowhead, or if we are at, like, 20% of the stadiums now in the NFL, go ahead and bring your camper, bring your pop-up, and have a good time with Isaac tailgating before the game. If you're in tight, cramped quarters of Inglewood, California, ain't nobody bringing, you can't bring your pop-up.
Now, somehow the Rams, according to one of the execs, VP for Corporate Affairs, Joanna Hunter, she says that they've partnered with Waze. Mm. You've seen the navigation app, Waze, W-A-Z-E.
No.
You can get turn-by-turn directions inside the parking lots to get to your designated parking zone. Now, the prices here, if you live in Southern California and are complaining about parking prices, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Standard parking bought in advance through Ticketmaster is $86.95. That is absolutely insane.
Oh my God.
$86.95 for one spot in the general lot?
To park at the game, yes.
So I'm paying $87 so my car might get broken into. That's a value.
That is correct. Now, speaking of value, season ticket holders have priority. They pay $60 a game, $600 for the year.
Okay.
Price is higher for oversized vehicles and tailgate parking.
But wait, 60 times 10 is $600, but wait. I'm not going to the preseason games. Doesn't matter. Can we get that $120?
Yeah, correct. No, we're trying to make some cash here and make up for last year. How about the Wi-Fi worries? This is a concern. When it's 66,000 strong.
Should have called Lester.
At U.S. Bank Stadium.
Lester Bagley.
Lester Bagley is your go-to contact for Wi-Fi.
Well, yeah, and we're joking, but we are being serious. Because remember into U.S. Bank Stadium 2016.
Yeah.
When Lester Bagley, right-hand man on all the building stuff for the Wilfs and Mortensen and everything, would come on 9 to noon or he would do press conferences, I mean, and FILA, Fairness and Lester Bagley Act, the Wi-Fi at U.S. Bank Stadium's freaking unbelievable how good it is.
I think they run wires through the railings in the general, in the seating sections to make sure you have it. Now, at SoFi.
Yeah.
I want to talk about lo-fi.
Down with that, Lester.
A Chargers fan writes, most technologically advanced stadium in the world, huh? The stadium Wi-Fi was deplorable, as was our AT&T data coverage.
Okay. Now, hold on. That is one. Okay, this is, you know what that reminded me of? When people tweet me saying, where's the podcast? And instead of liking it or responding and tagging you, And saying, what happened? Because I'm raised where you have said to me that there are certain phones or computers or something that can't get into the podcast, or I don't know what it is.
Well, no, sometimes our podcast, when I do it at around 12:15-ish, that's usually when I do the podcast, it doesn't populate to Apple Podcasts.
Thank you.
So it goes straight to our app within the next half hour, let's say.
What I'm getting at is that that's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Just like this Rube with the AT&T and the Wi-Fi. Bro, I'm not going to look into your phone to make sure your roaming is on or off, your cellular data is on or off, how if your freaking flip phone is able to get the Wi-Fi, lo-fi, at SoFi. So one opinion does not bad Wi-Fi make, Lester.
I will say this. Modesty noted that this was one of the most common complaints.
Oh.
So this was just a quote, but.
What is SoFi? Like, well, the SoFi, like, what company is it?
Feels like finance.
Really? See, it's like SoFi. It sounds like sci-fi with technological and wires. And
yeah, it's based in San Francisco. Oh. It's mobile first. Suite of financial products includes student loans, mortgages, personal loans, credit card, investing, banking.
Well, why don't you stop mashing on Nordo for those student loans from his Mavs days? SoFi, and start getting some good Wi-Fi at lo-fi at SoFi. You hear me now?
So the Wi-Fi is horrible. The parking's trash.
Uh-huh.
Traffic is a freaking disaster because all the roofs have never been there before.
Bro, the traffic, okay, the fan has learned, and you don't have to have lived there for 15 years like me. The traffic in that part of Southern California is a disaster in the first place.
All day.
Before SoFi.
Yeah.
The 405 freeway from 5:30 in the morning until about 10 at night, it's a freaking parking lot, man. It's the one that goes by Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, Santa Monica, down to Long Beach, City of Compton, Huntington Beach, Newport, Balboa, and all the way down.
Yeah.
So that's a disaster in the first place. And you're yoked up with it, and Crenshaw and Manchester do not have many lanes, and Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles has a line every day that's about 150 people long, so they're waiting in the street. So now all of a sudden, you got them waiting in the street, impeding traffic, And then you got Agers of Ragers learning what Rams players are not vaccinated. So they're picketing outside of the stadium. What a freaking disaster.
Absolutely. Family of four. Here, now let's get to the concessions. Yeah. I mean, they just boiled it down. The concessions are trash, apparently. So this family from Santa Monica, obviously, seats 300 level. The view is good. This is a quote. Mm-hmm. Food terrible. No variety. Hot dogs, pizza. Only wine in a can. Terrible.
Yes! Okay, well,
no different choices for food.
It beats wine in a freaking box.
That's a very good point. So far, disappointed season ticket holders. Additionally,
what more do you want? Okay, now, the Palatial Purple Paradise has revival fried chicken.
Correct.
And I don't know, that's kind of a staple right there. So.
Well, what if SoFi got Roscoe's?
Well, cool. Then nobody would be complaining about the food.
Correct.
They would then bitch about how long the lines are to get the food. And then
you could order from your seat, but you don't have Wi-Fi.
Or, yeah. Right. And you can order from your seat even though you don't have Wi-Fi, but you don't want hot dogs and pizza, even though that's what most people want at games. And then by the time you get there to pay for it, you're bitching about SoFi because of your student loans, and they're mashing on you every day trying to get their money. What happened?
The best idea is to order the food while you're waiting to park with your $86.95 parking. So their exhibition, and of course, lastly, football fans foaming and frothing at the mouth.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of fights at SoFi during the Rams and Chargers game. And you may have seen it. One was viral. Some gal threw a...
Yeah, the lady?
Oh, yeah. Man, that sucked.
Yeah, whatever. Everybody involved with that from the video I saw, scourge of the earth, man.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, just what low-class trash.
Yeah, it was awful.
Well, yeah, but Age of Rage. Yeah, but you don't know what went into it, Paul. I don't have to know what went into it to watch somebody throw a drink on somebody unprovoked, okay?
Yeah, if you're having a fist fight at a sporting event, it doesn't matter what happened. Something went wrong.
Yes.
Don't participate in it.
Yes.
So Kevin Modesty breaking it down for us because his Vikings fans,
like
as we embark on the 2021 season, we need to know what we're in for as we start looking for parking and accommodations.
Yeah.
What's public transportation look like in that part of Los Angeles? Yeah. Be ready for it, Vikings fans.
If and or when we get to Super Bowl 5-6, we get our kicks at Super Bowl 5-6.
Hell yeah.
At SoFi. I don't care if they have Wi-Fi. You can get me my information via carrier pigeon. The hot dogs and the pizza are fine.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Vikings actually get there, we're not going to worry about parking as we float in on the cloud delivered to us from Valhalla.
Amen.
And those would be
the Fan.
Memory lane we go. The song Bad. Wow, man. Down memory lane we go. My son Derek must have been 8, maybe 9, maybe 10, and maybe 11 or something like that. It was like, I think it's the last cruise that I went on. And they had a talent contest on the cruise ship. Can't remember if it was Royal Caribbean or it was Carnival or what it was. But they had a talent contest we heard about right when we came on. It was going to be like when Thursday night at like 7 o'clock in the big auditorium. And it involves this Michael Jackson classic. I'm bad. Really, really bad. So we caught wind of it. And first prize was not ship credit. It was actually $500 cash.
What?
Okay, $500 cash for first prize. Well, Derek had just started a hip-hop class at Summit Dance School in Plymouth. So he's got to be, he's about 9, 10, 11. And you know, when you have... a young man, when you have a son, specifically in Eden Prairie, and you start them in any form of dance,
yeah,
the next class you need to take is karate.
I always love that one.
He had to learn how to get his black belt on to defend his valor. But not in all cities, but just some. So Derek has the dancing gene, just like his sister Nicole. And Derek was at Summit Academy, right off 55 in Plymouth. And his hip hop class was working on their routine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're 2 months into it now, and the routine was bad. Okay. And so therefore they only needed up to a minute or maybe 2 minutes of this Rube telling jokes, whatever. There were like seven of them. And Derek actually, by the luck of the draw, got to go last. So we practiced. What we did was we didn't know about this. So one of our first two stops was in Antigua. And in Antigua, instead of spending the 4, 5, 6 hours touring or doing an excursion or laying on the beach or playing frisbee on the beach or whatever with psychedelic Zach, longtime friend Dave Walczak, God rest his soul, we went through the streets of Antigua to find Derek a black hat, jeans, a white button-down shirt, a tank top t-shirt that he could wear underneath.
Yeah.
And a Michael Jackson CD that had bad.
Oh, perfect.
Because this wasn't free iHeartRadio app downloaded now.
Yeah.
This wasn't just go to your favorite bit and download the song. You had to have the song.
Now in Antigua, where I I've never been there. So like street, are there vendors and all of these things? How much of that entire list were you able to uncover in Antigua?
The entire list.
You're kidding me.
And the last thing we found 30 minutes before the ship left was the bad CD.
And it was just like this scratch, like you had to lick it. And
it was off beaten path terrorism, which is fine.
Yeah, it works.
And so we found the CD bad. He had jeans. We found a white button down. We found the what some people would call something beater, but a
white tank top.
White tank top. And we found a black hat. Okay, so he could take the hat right at the end of his routine, which he had at home. And when it goes, I'm bad, then takes his hat off and like lays it, like holds it out in front, like in essence you're asking for money.
Yeah.
But it was part of the routine, but we didn't tell anybody that he was in the middle of a routine. So we practiced in the hallways. We practiced in the hallway by the stairwell for a good 2 hours under the cover of darkness when nobody, and we kept the music low. We played the music, couldn't play it through your phone at that time. We played the music. So anyway, comedy guy, dance person, whatever. Main man comes out, and over the course of a minute and 45 seconds, and I think I have video of it, wins the talent show. Hell yeah. $500 for dad to lose at craps on the ship later that night. Came out and did his bad routine, man.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, it was so
good.
Cool.
For him.
And I haven't heard, I swear, man, I can't remember the last time I heard that song, but that's the memory that it triggered. Speaking of phones, I'd like to compliment you briefly. And briefly, only because we're probably up against AQH terrorism. It's not that a compliment to Nordo needs to be briefly. It can be, I can compliment Nordo for a half hour if you need me to. But see, this involves phones and texting. When you respond to a text, you never send the heart or thumbs up or thumbs down or that little row that is made available to you.
Yes, correct.
I can't speak of how, you know, now with your wife, that's probably all you send. Because it gets you in and out cleanly.
Correct.
And you can move on to the next clipping penalty. With me, you never send those. And I don't know what triggered me to think this, but I like it.
Yeah.
And here's why I like it. Now, I do it, okay, more this time of the year when I got all those things, when I have all these earthly things coming at me.
Well, and I've seen your phone, by the way, where for me, after this show, I'm going to have two or three people that I need to respond to.
Yeah.
I've seen your phone in the score after a show where you're filing through 15 different text threads.
Yeah.
The clipping penalties are real.
Yeah. And see, when you're, but see, the difference is, and it's not that you lack the ability to be cognizant of what is like happening at my life that time, because you don't completely know my schedule, but on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night, you know I'm probably at the racetrack calling races,
yep,
getting 9 to noon ready or whatever. When you're into that OODA pills about 9:30, I mean, you text a lot. Okay, I mean, it's sometimes I got to leave you on read.
I understand.
Or leave you undelivered.
I got a lot to say.
I got a race to call. No, it's not that you have a lot to say. You think a lot.
I do.
Okay, so it's, but I'm on the receiving end. The surrogate's on the receiving end of a lot of your DJ Wanham related thoughts, summer league basketball related thoughts, Tsuyoshi Nishioka twins related thoughts.
Yeah.
So occasionally I will respond to you with a something show related, a heart, a thumbs up or whatever. Just that quick little thing. Texting and the personal touch does not involve incessantly and constantly just responding with the exclamation point, the yep, thumbs up, the thumbs down, the heart, the question mark. Am I missing any in that super convenient bar?
Well, there's 5,000 of them now.
No, I'm saying just the one that pops up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just,
I think you got them.
Like,
yeah.
Right. Well, you never do that.
No.
Which means it's one of two things. You're either stupid and you don't know it's there, which is not the, which is a zero percenter, or you just prefer old school, best school, and responding to a text.
Yeah, it all goes back to be honest, for me, the reason that I do that is because going back to the genesis of texting, the colon and the parentheses, I've always hated that. And I even have friends that say, dude, like, you don't need to send a novella every time we text about something.
Yeah.
I want to send a thought and show, like, pay attention to you,
yeah,
respect what you sent me,
yeah,
and respond in kind. That's why I do it. And, yeah, and so I send full sentences.
Yeah.
It's not, there's punctuation in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I handle texting.
However, FINA, Fairness in Nordo Act, or FIDA, Fairness in Others Texting Act, you may have more time to do that than people with whom you're texting.
Sure.
Or other people texting.
That's possible.
But it also it keeps the personal touch, the intimacy alive in with something that is super impersonal.
Absolutely.
Texting. Now, the dichotomy of it is what I really like is the dichotomy of the perception of what's going on through somebody's head when they do respond with a thumbs up. Okay, well, that's it. Okay, I mean,
that's all you got?
Yeah, I just wrote three paragraphs and that's all you got. You send a thumbs up and then you see the bubbles pop up because they felt guilty. So now you get those who have the Catholic guilt gene.
Yeah.
And they send the thumbs up or the thumbs down. But now it's like, I got to write something. Yeah. So then they send you 8 cursory words. One of them is misspelled. They're going so fast because they're so busy. And then that's that.
Yes.
So I've just, for whatever the reason, I've gotten, because I do get a lot of text messages this time of the year, I've just gotten into the dichotomy of who sends what and why.
Mm.
Those in my stable who have the guilty gene and will send the thumbs up, the heart, the question mark. But then I'll just sit there and look at it. And the over-under is about 9 seconds, maybe 13. Come on. Have a
there
heart.
We go.
Have a heart. There they are.
There it is.
Here come these bubbles. Yeah, with these balls. There you are.
Aww.
Because you felt bad just sending the most impersonal.
Yeah.
Impersonal thing you can send in something that lacks personality and is impersonal in the first place.
Right.
It's the dichotomy of it, man. What's your stance on texts being received with either read or delivered?
Ooh. No, I can't put the Reed receipt out there.
Well, I ain't putting that out there either, but
I've been left on red a lot.
Okay, now, if people have the red receipts on for everything,
yeah,
or individually, which you can do for individual people with whom you text, what's the play? What's the play here?
Ooh.
It's one of two things. You either don't know it's on and accidentally hit it, which means you're stupid, or you want to send the red receipt just so people can know you read it, went Wayne Larrivee on it with Nordo, and didn't respond for a day and a half. It's one of the two.
There's a certain guy that we both know,
yeah,
we both love.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best ever to wear maroon and gold.
Ooh.
That when I text him,
oh, the worst,
the read receipt hits you a minute,
yeah,
after you send it.
Absolutely.
You will not get an actual response for about 8 hours.
Unless.
It's about coming on the show.
Bam. Unless you got something that, unless it involves,
that's right,
a show with a microphone. I got a studio and three microphones.
Three chin room with a microphone.
See? The read and the delivered? Like, I've never thought to put my text messages on read. It doesn't matter to me, but I don't need people to know that I have read their texts. And then, now I haven't responded in a day because of whatever is going on. Got to be careful with that in the age of rage.
Absolutely.
You leave somebody unread for too long, and their mind will go to working as to why they've been left unread. So I think the best thing to do is when somebody sends you a novella, a Tolstoy-like text, and you leave them unread because your read receipts are on, wait a day and a half, and just send back a thumbs up.
I always love that one.
Day and a half into it, thumbs up, that's all.
I've done this. One of my buddies has his read receipts on, and I'll just intentionally wait sometimes,
yeah,
and then just say, didn't see this, just getting back to you.
Same.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean.
You know I saw it a day ago.
100%. Right. I mean, right. It's kind of like, oh, missed this email. I'm still on AOL. It went to spam. Well, no, it just got lost in the shuffle. I mean, I'm
correct.
But I don't want to. You don't want to. People's feelings,
right?
A, get hurt so easily.
Yep.
But get hurt so easily, even more seemingly now. That you got to be careful with that when you are just somebody is sharing something with you and all you said, or say something funny, or I just hit the pick five. Well, then that has to be the exclamation thing.
Hell
like,
yes!
Like yeah, that's my response. The exclamation. No, your response needs to be, well done.
Absolutely.
And then if they elaborate, then it's like, what'd you hit it for? Can I get some money?
Yeah, can I borrow some cash, please?
Yeah, borrow? What are you talking about? You just put 48 up and won 4,000. Borrow? Why don't you just give me 300?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind 10%.
The dichotomy of Nordo never sending the hearts or the thumbs up or the thumbs down or the exclamation and everything, and texting with the personal touch really just kind of laid on me this weekend.
Mm.
How much I appreciate it, and how it's great to have a friendship where if you do send back something of the thumbs up variety after you write 9 things about the radio show, 2 of which I'm going to use, and all of it is just the thumbs up, and that's the evening, and there's no judging.
Yeah.
The emphasis here is no judging.
Correct.
If you get left unread, if you get left undelivered, and if you have opened your heart, and all somebody does is send back the old thumbs up, let's not judge.
No.
They may be having a
KFAN.
Hey, it's News du Nord, brought to you every single day around this time. Thanks to our friends at Canterbury's Card Casino. There's poker, there's blackjack, there's table games all year round. And, of course, live racing continues. Weeknight racing, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. They had the Corgis running yesterday during Family Day. That's a Sunday thing, 1 p.m. Get out there. And whether it's Corgi calling the Corgis or it's Vox celebrating the Wieners, You can check that out. Family Day, Sundays. Get to CanterburyPark.com for all the event details.
Number one.
It's the A topic for Vikings fans, I assume, following the weekend's 12-10 loss. And that is, according to reports from Courtney Cronin, and it's something we discussed earlier in the show, PA, that Everson Griffin, 10 seasons with the Minnesota Vikings, 74.5 sacks during his time here, puts him around 7th place in Vikings history lore. And takes a little detour. The thing for me, what's interesting here, PA,
yeah,
is if the report is accurate, which we assume it is, he signs with the team probably for this season, and that's great. But I remember kind of the idea before he left in the first place was like, hey, this is the best place for Everson. Like, just knowing Everson, the time that he's been with the Vikings, who he is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having trouble at the time figuring out the money end of things. Goes somewhere else. Dallas first, then he ended with Detroit. And actually, again, given his low snap counts, pretty productive season with 6.5 sacks.
Yeah.
But just kind of the idea for him as just a human being existing in this world, that the best place for him was going to be Minnesota, it feels in some ways, as now over the last few weeks he's even been vocal about a push to come back,
yeah,
that maybe he realized that after stepping away.
Well, I would imagine the majority of however you laid that out was is accurate from an Everson standpoint. Now, kindness will be superseded in the National Football League by winning games.
Yeah.
So it's... The only reason they're going to bring him in, the reasons are going to be they're a pass rusher short, and they know it. And they don't wholeheartedly trust Wanham or Weatherly to give them what Griffin gave them. So Everson, this is mercenary terrorism. I mean, when you have players in contracts where they are at that stage of their contracts, and when you spend the money they've spent defensively, and now you got Hitman heading into free agency after this year, Brian O'Neill, he's going to be a big ticket. It's an all-in move here, man. I mean, this team, whether you believe it or not, they are crafting things to compete to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they can say they do that every single year, but not every single year are you afforded the opportunity to have Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson, two extremely well-respected and recognized run stoppers, to supposedly fix that. So now, it depends, copyright bump, it all depends on whose ox is being gored. Is it a desperation move because you don't like your right defensive ends? Or is it, we take a look at every single person that's available on the cliched street, and if they have a skill set and they check out physically, they work out okay, we give everybody a chance. Part of that is true, too. So does Everson start when we go to Cincinnati? I mean, there are a couple of things here where the sensitivity of individuals and or feelings being hurt cannot be part of the equation when... to whom much is given, much is expected, and you're running a business like Spielman. So if you get feelings hurt that Everson rolls in there and starts, that's because he earned that spot, or the ones there did not earn it over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, just how much do you play him? And yes, Everson should be personally at his best within this team. however, it's very much a work in progress on many, many levels. It feels like a mercenary type move to help a team that hopes it is Super Bowl bound.
Absolutely. This just kind of hit me here.
Yeah.
Follow me on this conspiracy theory, because you know that I'm a
Mondiac, Mondiac to the core.
Yeah.
So I'm a Mondiac. We're having trouble getting out of the gates a little bit. And the kid's excited, kid's scared, might be just apprehensive as he gets his NFL legs under him. What if Kellen Mond intentionally threw down incomplete after incomplete, intentionally chose the pass over maybe a run option because he wanted Britton Skolquit to average 46.1 yards per punt with three inside the 20 and along a 52?
Right.
Skolquit's back. He's back.
How good was Skolquitt in that game?
He was unbelievable.
After Zimmer chewed his ass.
No, he showed up big time.
Well, yeah, and Lord knows we got to see him pretty much more than every single person in the building playing in the game. He
took as many snaps as the starters.
My God.
Eight punts.
He and Rigoberto Sanchez, I mean, they were in there a lot. It was 12-10 terrorism. the Mondiak situation, he can't win under these circumstances.
No.
I mean, he got bit. Okay, ain't nobody mad at him for getting bit, but he got bit. So now he missed a lot of time, and in truncated fashion practiced, came into the Denver game, and even with more practice last week, Zimmer on his jock for how he looked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I thought he regressed. I don't think I'd agree with that. And using the word regression, that's not even the right word. I just don't think he looked as good.
He didn't get better. That's for sure.
But see, it's hard for the high enders who are drafted, and Kellen is a high ender. For quarterbacks, it's very difficult to say, like Browning. Before you left in the first half with Browning, do you remember that patch where like everything went wrong for Jake?
Yeah.
He threw behind somebody. He overthrew somebody. He held the ball too long. And, man, I felt his anxiety attack from an eighth of a mile away. I didn't sense an anxiety attack with the Mondiak. I just sensed a situation that was not completely conducive to his skill set because you're trying to get out of this game alive. And that's why... It plays into, you know, Zimmer with Zimmer with the comments after the game saying, curious about the offense, thinking about playing the ones at Kansas City. Hey, I mean, Cousins has played X amount of plays. Jefferson, Cook, none. If you truly feel that playing the best Minnesota Vikings offensive players in a preseason game where KC's probably going to play nobody is going to be the elixir to getting this offense snappy and jazzy,
right,
and tighter than it is now into the Cincinnati game, there's no way he can look at that because that would offset an off-season where you have seen snappy, jazzy, good, explosive with Dalvin and predicated on play action.
Yep.
So I just, we'll see what he does on Friday night.
Yeah, nothing would be better than having Kirk come in, who, by the way, you mentioned it. There's nothing. They're not even trying to take shots.
Uh-uh.
So Amir Smith-Marset runs a deep route,
yeah,
and Mike Hughes, former Viking, bats away a Kirk Cousins pass.
Wow.
There's no positives to come out of that.
Yeah.
If you're not going to play the big timers with Kirk,
yeah,
then just pack it up and be ready for Cincy.
With Amir, fairness and Hawkeye act. That's what he does.
He was assertive, decisive in the return game.
He's a kick returner.
Yeah.
Okay. Amir Smith-Marset plays receiver, but off what I saw in the Denver game, I don't like how he plays receiver. Now, when it comes to returning kicks, holy cow. Like decisive was the perfect word right there, man. He caught it and he tried to pop it, you know, and he just had he had some juice to it.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
Number three.
I'll wrap up with a bit of this. First of all, Tua till you're satisfied.
Whatever it is.
Oh, he was so damn good against Atlanta. 183 and a score for Tua in his second preseason game. I still kind of laugh. I was trying to find the audio from this quote, and I could probably wrangle it somewhere. But Andy Dalton, earlier last week, Justin's going to have a great career, as in Justin Fields.
Uh-huh.
But this is my time.
Oh my gosh. I saw that.
What the hell was that?
It was like his Wednesday or Thursday presser. Yep. I saw it over the weekend like you probably did.
Correct.
When NFL Network or somebody was mashing up that and he got booed,
yep,
and they want Justin.
There was a pick in the mix. Oh yeah.
Yeah. There was a like 75-yard Dalton dime to the right side.
It was pretty nice.
Receiver had to win a 50-50 ball, and he did, and he got into the end zone, so sacre bleu, take that, says Andy Dalton. But that moved me and blew me away with what he said, exactly how you laid it out. He said I understand this, and young quarterback this, and you've seen him and he's good. This is my time. Oh, my God.
I love it, though. I love it from the standpoint that, did you know that the Red Rifle had that in him? Did you, no. When you look at Andy Dalton, did you, and he's a great athlete.
Good point.
He's been in the league for a decade, so it's like he's proven that he belongs.
Yeah.
And maybe that time is certainly coming to an end.
Yeah.
But would you ever see a guy like Andy Dalton, who maybe is assertive in the locker room, but sit there in a presser and go, this is my time, damn it. Here I am.
But see, correct me if I'm wrong here, announcer does not have all the answers. A lot of words are shared into this microphone because I'm three chins. I can talk into either one of these three microphones. Andy Dalton is not the kind of quarterback to ever say it's his time.
Correct.
You never have a time.
He's the opposite.
You had the time in Cincinnati a little bit, and you guys couldn't score when Zimmer's defense was going lights freaking out in playoff games against Phil Rivers. So that might have been your time, but Andy, man, I mean, this is not this. No, this is Justin's time. You just happen to be borrowing his time. You indeed are on borrowed time, borrowing it from Justin Fields.
And Fields, 9 of 19, he nearly got murdered in that game. I forget who the pass rusher was. Just put helmet into chest and just speared him.
Yeah.
It was ugly, but he got back up.
You got Lawrence, you got Wilson, you got Fields, you got Mondiax. Who else we got here I'm missing? Like Ballyhooed or whatever.
Well, I mean, Mac Jones.
Thank you, Mac Jones.
Mac Jones was good, that 35-0 blowout over the Eagles.
I'm going to tell you right now, with the right to change the opinion 6 times, including after they play 22 games each.
Perfect.
The Bears got the best of the bunch.
You think so?
I like Justin Fields better than all of them. And I know what that Trevor Lawrence, I know Trevor Lawrence's smell, and I know it well with what he can do in the NFL. I'm telling you right now, the Bears got the best of the bunch.
Just watch Wilson, though. Zach Wilson, I'm not kidding you because it's the freaking Jets.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good.
Bro, his arm strength and poise bouncing around in the pocket against the third and fourth corners for the Green Bay Packers, blowing coverage on the back end. I mean, it was that of a cocksure quarterback. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I did want to end on Trey Lance, actually, because I watched most of the Niners game last night while I was texting you about 9 times. And contrary to popular belief, no OODA pills involved, as a matter of fact. Watching that game, Trey Lance is like the kid when I would go to the YMCA and I'd play pickup hoops in the red gym down in Mankato.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a kid that just could show up playing sandals, and he was better than everybody else in the gym. And in some ways, that's Trey Lance. Because this kid at the red gym at the YMCA in Mankato would also go 0-for-6 from threes, but then he would suddenly dunk on you and do something you couldn't believe. That's Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Trey Lance last night made some awful, incredibly stupid decisions.
Yeah.
He had a couple of throws that you're wondering NDSU fans would want to boo at that throw.
Yeah.
But then he comes out of nowhere and he's brilliant. And 2 touchdowns last night, an awesome throw. I think it was to Mohamed Sanu on a slant, got a 2nd touchdown, similar type play. Trey Lance, after what was just an ugly throw that resulted in a pick by Jimmy G. I mean, Jimmy G, it feels like he's almost trying to give up that job. Like, I mean, Jimmy G has not looked good, P.S.
Some football, baseball, column writing type stuff, and much more with Lavelle Neal III from the Maine Man Covenant. He joins 9 to noon weekly at about 11 o'clock on Mondays. He's a columnist for the Star Tribune. And speaking of the aforementioned Justin Fields plus more, he will opine on that when we return to FM 100.3 KFAN.
This is The Fan.
She's just
Weekly appearances by Star Tribune columnist Lavelle E. Neal III, brought to you not only by Pillbox in St. Paul, but Jersey's Bar and Grill in Invergrove Heights. First of all, go to those two places because they're amazing. But secondly, when you go there, if the Minnesota baseball team just happened to get a victory the day before, few and far between, we know this, but you're going to get a buy one, get one on a KFAN Ooda Pils. It's a hazy blonde ale. It's delicious. So check out Pillbox and Jersey's Bar and Grill. Thanks for supporting and presenting Lavelle Neal III.
What up there, Benny Mardonis and Lavelle Neal III? What's up there, my buddy?
Good morning, sir. How's everything in your world?
Things are good, man. How's the Pillbox? Things good?
Very good. Very good. Pillbox and Jersey's are doing fine. I actually had a lunch at Jersey's last week. I had a very tasty, what did I have? Oh, I
French
had.
French dip?
They had a steak and mushroom soup.
Oh.
That was excellent.
Hey.
Absolutely excellent.
Did you eat any of the broth?
Did you just
kind of spoon out the thick and juicy stuff?
I slurped some of the broth.
Hell yeah.
Got to.
At Lavelle Neal via Twitter, if you'd like to follow him like 9 to Noon does, glitzy columnist for the Star Tribune. And you poke a little bit on Twitter, don't you?
I do.
Is that a columnist thing, or have you always done it and I just kind of didn't notice it? Like, the most recent tweet that I can see.
Okay.
At Lavelle Neal. First of all, it was tweeted 15 hours ago, which that would make it, okay, so that makes it like 6 in the evening, or like 6:30 or whatever. This should have been canceled without foreign teams, responding to Rhett Bollinger's tweet. The Little League World Series is limited to U.S. teams this year because of COVID, but Japanese Little Leaguers who played in the MLB Cup sent Shohei Ohtani a bunch of placards to show their support. What's the consternation here, Mr. Columnist?
It's not a World Series if the rest of the world's not participating.
Right, it's a series. Right.
That's the thing.
Okay.
It's always been a U.S.
COVID, though.
A U.S. bracket and an international bracket.
COVID, though. I mean, it's you know, because we've been BF, we have BFF terrorism for almost a quarter century. So you know that this is not your spend a ton of time guessing about COVID leader, at least this time spot is not.
Right.
So therefore, that's my heart. So if I say COVID, though, I mean, that has to be the reason. I mean, like the whole reason, right?
My excitement about the Little League World Series is seeing who's going to come out of the international bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Taiwan again? Is it going to be Japan? Is it going to be Curacao? You know, when I found out the international teams weren't participating, and on top of that, that the team from this area didn't make it, I just lost a lot of enthusiasm. So, but it's cool that MLB went and played a regular season game there. I thought that was pretty neat. It was a great opportunity for the kids to see major league players up close.
Yeah.
You know, COVID sucks. Once again, the latest fallout from COVID, and it just stinks. And we've got to move on. We got to move through this and move on, man, so we can get back to fun stuff, like watching the world play Little League Baseball.
The game I was watching last evening, Anaheimers in Cleveland, I believe.
Yes.
Was that at Williamsport?
It was somewhere there, I believe, yeah.
It had a Little League feel to it because there were Little League teams.
How'd you like the uniforms?
I thought it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I liked the Field of Dreams bit with, who was it, the Yankees and the Red Sox, maybe?
It was White Sox and Yankees.
White Sox and Yankees.
I thought it was going to be corny.
Yeah, it was
not, fresh. The pun's not intended there, okay?
Ow.
But once I started watching, I was like, you know what, this is pretty cool. And there was a great walk-off moment at the end, you know, so it ended up being a great experience. And they're going back next year with the Cubs and the Reds.
Yeah, the Aaron Judge walk-off moment, it was the bomb. Yeah, it was corny, Kevin Costner, nostalgia. I mean, it was really cool.
The Twins should be involved in that, I think. It should be Twins and White Sox.
Well, it'd be nice if the Twins were involved in anything that included Byron Buxton rounding the bases.
Here we go.
Well, no, I'm following my final step to get ready for Wobblegate each and every Monday is to look through your Twitter just to see if there's anything I can jot down. And I'm looking at, I think it's at TF Twins, Tom Froming. Byron Buxton homered in his first plate appearance this afternoon for the Saints. That was yesterday. A, mammoth freaking shot. B, if you're going to a Saints game and Byron Buxton's out there roaming around, and I mean, how great is that if you're going to that game and you get Byron Buxton?
Well, you know, that's the great thing about realigning the minor league system this year. This is the first year baseball did that. And now you go watch your favorite Twins players rehab at St. Paul. You show up at the ballpark one day and find out that, let's just say, Kenta Maeda is coming off the DL. He's making an appearance for the Saints. You're like, oh, that's great, you know?
Yeah.
So that and I think the Twins now have the closest affiliate, AAA affiliate in baseball now. I think it's them in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Tim Anderson was the one who walked off in that for the White Sox.
Yeah, I didn't want to correct you. No, you're on a roll.
No, bro, you can jump on me anytime. It's 25 years of friendship.
Okay.
As the age of rage beating you down so badly that that you would go eyebrow to eyebrows, chin to chins, and because you're feeble out of during the pandemic or whatever, you won't correct me.
Yeah.
Okay. If I make a mistake, correct me, man.
All right, brother.
It was Tim Anderson. I was thinking of the Aaron Judge bit, which was majestic and like the bomb and everything, but it was Tim Anderson. So,
and the other thing, too, about the Twins' affiliation with St. Paul is that, like, a guy like Randy Dobnak, worst case scenario, I'm in AAA this year. So I can get that condo in the Twin Cities area and sign the full season lease, you know?
What's that mean?
Well, because you know you're going to be in town all year. It's either going to be majors or AAA.
Yeah.
You know, so it helps from some of the minor leaguers who have families.
Where was this taco bar that you're talking about? Oh, for a Loons game.
The Loons.
Oh, Durkee, though. I see Durkee's tweet.
It's Durkee. Well, here's the thing.
Durkee and taco bar and the Brian Loons, Pfeiffer and the Loons.
The Loons are known for this taco bar in the press box.
Really?
And they had it. I went to the game against Austin.
Mm-hmm.
They had taco bar going, and it was a big conversation point about taco bar's back. Taco bar's back.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I see the menu for their latest game in which they had a man advantage for most of the game and still didn't score. The taco bar was gone. I was like, what's up?
My God.
What's going on, man? Yeah, I heard so much hype about taco bar. Then I experienced taco bar. I understood the bit. You know, well, you can sit there and make your own, like, nacho mess. It's just a beautiful thing.
You can't, with all due respect, you can't tweet just the cheating Huskers and just let it lay there.
Boy.
It's like when I say the cheating Saints, I have Bounty Gate as my reference point, where a coach was suspended for a year, an organization was fined zillions, and one safety who organized the cutting off the head to kill the beast in jail for different situations, obviously. But that's the cheating Saints. The cheat, Monica Childs at Mo Childs.
Monica Childs is one of my longtime friends in town. She's a huge baseball fan. Goes to about a dozen Twins games a year.
Yeah,
she goes on Twins road trips.
Excellent.
And so I've met her a few times after games and had a beverage at the Loon to talk about baseball.
Hey,
but she went to Nebraska. She actually went to a class with Brian Dunsing when Dunsing was pitching for the Huskers.
Okay,
so she's a huge Huskers football fan.
Right, but what makes the Huskers, I don't have to tell you this, but it's the age of rage. And when you go the cheating Huskers, it just takes one.
Well, the story last
for it
week,
to catch the fire.
Last week, it was announced that the Huskers are being investigated for illegal practices.
The alleged cheating Huskers, which is stupid.
Okay. All right. I left the ledge down. I'm sorry.
Semantics. But you feel me on that, man. It was from your newspaper last week where there was a headline. I simply wrote, I tweeted same. And it was like a parent saying, it was like parents anxious or worrying about something. And then this parent tweeted, I'm not, or we're not. And I wrote same. That I'm not. This facet of COVID.
It was my kids going to school.
Thank
and
you.
Make sure they're safe about around COVID.
Which with COVID, the devil's wind, I can't control. So it's like
wait a minute, time out. You just called it the devil's wind.
Yeah, I've called it that for a year and change, along with the purge.
That's awesome.
So I can't control it though. It's like, you know, and it's RIP my mentions not only at that time of the week, but like I cracked it open this morning, man. And somebody was being kind. It wasn't a-hole terrorism, but they're on Kirk for not getting vaccinated. And then Kirk saying, I'm going to do my very best to keep myself and my family safe and, you know, whatever. Well, he sent me a picture, which was a screenshot from the Saturday night game of Kirk shaking the hands of a member of the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know who it was. Let's say it was a quarterback.
So
he had his mask on and he was shaking hands. I have no problem with that. So what? So, and I'm saying that right into the microphone with three chins talking in a microphone with no dump button. I'm vaccinated, as I've said. I don't worry about the devil's wind because I can't control it. And that's been the case since day one of the pandemic. Don't hate on me because I don't worry. And don't read into it because I don't care about the right or the left.
Right, but you're vaccinated, though. So, I mean.
But I didn't care about the right or the, because it then morphs into a, well, you, of course you don't. You live in Eden Prairie. You must have $10 million in your bank account. You don't have to worry about doctor's bills. And you, of course, are on the right side supporting Donald Trump. To which Friday, I was like, I don't care about the right. And I don't care about the left. I care about the North.
I care about what's right.
I care about God over the right and the left. And that's how I live my life. So when I see things like this, like we're talking about here from your Twitter, I'm just saying, man, I looked at the word worry and was like, well, I had COVID and you didn't. I was with somebody for 8 days next to them who died, treating them physically and spiritually, and you didn't. And we're not trying to win COVID power rankings here, but my experience is pretty vast. And truly none of that matters with the, to the side, somebody has a right to have an opinion that they don't worry about the devil's wind because they can't control it. And it mushroom clouds, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, be careful with that stuff.
You know, everybody's right to their opinion. I would just say that get all the information you need to make the best decision you can about taking a vaccine and go from there.
But if somebody is not vaccinated,
it affects other people around them.
But I may not know they're vaccinated or not, but if I kind of have a feeling they aren't and they want to shake my hand, I'm shaking their hand. That's it. I'm not living the rest of my mother freaking life worried about shaking somebody's hand because they've done something or haven't done something. You know what I mean?
I had no
problem.
I had no problems. I had no problems getting the vaccine.
The freaking fear is off the charts.
I want to wear a mask as little as possible. I don't want to be able to interact with my friends. I got the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Something we started in grammar school: polio vaccine, measles, mumps, whatever.
Yeah.
I had to go downstairs into the basement of Holy Rosary Grade School and get a shot for something.
Yeah.
I was raised on getting shots.
Same.
You know.
Yeah, the FDA today
officially approved Pfizer for full use. It's no longer emergency use.
Yeah, and that's the one I got in April.
That's what I got.
But I wasn't thinking about the vaccine. Yeah, I probably would have gotten it. It wasn't first and foremost on my mind. But then I'm talking to Sugarman, the certified athletic trainer during OTAs, and he's like, "Well, do you want to come to practice?" Yeah. Okay, well, you need to be vaccinated. Okay, where, when? That was it. I mean, it didn't,
right.
that was it. And it triggered my mind where, yeah, I'm going to do this. I just didn't know when. You know what I mean? I was letting, because of the rushes and the lines and everything for it, I was letting others get it done before me because I don't want to say they cared about it more, but they were more fearful of circumstances than I was. And I also was within my 3 months of getting bit. So then if you read that part of the equation,
you had antibodies.
Right. And somebody, you know, somebody I know who is not vaccinated, who got bit and, you know, I'm not going to get vaccinated because I have these antibodies and whatever. I'm like, okay, well, that's your choice. And I disagree with it for reasons A, B, and C.
But there are some people out there who believe that having antibodies is better than having a vaccine.
Great. I'm talking about got a cold about 13 days ago, and it's still there. So, and I'm not saying a 13-day sniffles, bad throat, whatever, it is definitely like a sign that your system's just beaten down from the COVID you had and all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's interesting, this cold that you would have 2 years ago lasted 3 days, now it's lasting 13.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm not reading into it, but I'm just, I'm like looking at it like, wow, man, this thing just won't go away, will it?
No.
Just won't go away.
It's just, I feel bad for parents who have kids that have to go to school and they're dealing with the, do we need a mask mandate? So I just, do I just give my kids a mask and don't care about other kids?
Right.
When can they be vaccinated? You know,
child starts Colorado Denver today.
Yeah.
Today's the first day. And they just came out late last week with in-class mandatory masks. And they are making available
what about proof of vaccine, though.
Even with, because child is vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, if you didn't want to wear a mask in class, then Coley, you know, she got vaccinated. So she's all done with that. But they change it. It's like, even if you have proof of vaccination, you still, to be in the class, you're going to wear a mask. Or you can do it virtually. I'm not sending child to Denver, Colorado to sit in a freaking student apartment and do virtual class.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, so now that's starting to pop up a little bit, you know, where decisions and like, you know, protocol and like what, if you send a kid out of state to go to school, you do it for the experience.
Yeah.
And that's changing.
I've got to fill out a form probably today in order so I can cover Vikings games on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I got a email from Carly Bonk about that.
Yeah.
Like Saturday night.
Yeah.
God, she works too much.
I leave with the team Thursday. Mm-hmm. First team flight I will have been on in well over a year. If they had told me you're calling game road mm-hmm. game from U.S. Bank Stadium, I would not have fought. They asked me to go on the road with them again and call the games on the road, and I didn't fight. I that was part of getting the vaccine. So,
yep.
And we'll see how it works. We'll see if I still enjoy it as yep. much as I did years gone by.
Yeah, like the Vikings required media to produce a negative test. You
right.
know, and I sent the Vikings a copy of my
gotcha.
Vaccination card, said, hey, dude, I'm vaccinated. I was like,
yeah,
we understand.
Once every 14 days.
But you still have to take yeah. the test.
I once said, every okay. 14 days,
yeah.
which means I will be there tomorrow at 6:45, 7 a.m. I will test, and then I will come in and do 9 to noon, and I'm vaccinated.
Well,
but that's okay. Well, that's their request.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't mad at them. I ain't going to judge them.
Right.
That's their request. My request could be, screw you. I'm not going to do it because I disagree with the way you're looking at it. And yeah. then I could lie and say
correct.
That, you know, I just I haven't done enough reading or there's not enough research on it. When you're not going to do any reading or research on it, you just don't want to be portrayed as a cliched sheep.
Yeah. And so, you know, the time of my test was good timing because the week before that, I was in Houston covering the Twins series. So I was in Texas where the Devil's wind is blowing very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weekend before that, I was in Las Vegas
mm-hmm.
where everybody's playing the wind. So.
Right.
I said, this is a good time to test the vaccine.
So well, Ellie Neal III.
I got swabbed, negative.
Columnist, Star Tribune. It's Paul Allen. Some sports conversation, including Andy Dalton, Justin Fields, Everson Griffin, the Minnesota Twins, and more, when 9 to noon.
Yeah, the Fan.
Of the Vikings. Lavelle.
Hey, you know it's Andy Dalton's time, right? I mean, Andy Dalton into the most recent preseason game. The media talking about Justin Fields and how he looks and everything, and Andy was like, it's my time, man. I know you all love Justin. I get the game. I've been at it quite some time. It's my time. What do you think?
I think Andy gets a few games at the beginning of the season, but eventually it's in the best interest of the Bears to get Justin Fields on the field.
So you're coming around.
Well, I've always said he was going to start. I just thought it was going to be like week five or so.
How the hell is he not the first quarterback to run out on the field the first game?
Because Andy Dalton has full command of the offense.
Okay. Yeah,
but
that's tough to get around.
The Bears are in a crappy situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
They still think in their minds that they could be competitive. They have a defense, they're wasting the best years of the defense.
Yeah.
You have people there whose jobs are on the line, and they want Justin Fields to succeed.
Yeah.
At the same time, you brought in Dalton because you want to win. You're sending out mixed messages about how you're going about doing this.
Yep, and two turntables and a microphone.
Exactly. So now, I expect Dalton to play. Here's the thing. You've been clamoring for Justin Fields. I'm looking at the Bears schedule. Week one at Aaron Donald. I do not want Justin Fields debuting against Aaron Donald.
Why? He can run.
For his life.
But that's what you need. Dalton can't run.
He can get the ball out of his hand, though.
Yeah, red rifle ball out of hand.
Which I don't know if you saw any of the replays. Did you see when Fields almost got decapitated because he didn't get the hot read?
No. What happened?
He slipped protection on the left side. That led to the outside linebacker getting a free release. And he kept focusing on the left when he should have hit his hot route to the right. And he got ear holed. Helmet came off.
Mm-mm.
Headband came off.
Yeah.
So you got these two things flying in the air.
Yeah.
And the defensive player got a penalty for roughing the passer.
Trevor Lawrence, being the first overall pick, and with the size and the arm strength, doesn't move much, but he can waggle and wiggle just a little bit. I've watched four quarters minimum of Trey Lance. I've just caught his games at a really good time in the sinkhole. I've seen all of the Mondiak. I've seen Zach, I've seen them all.
I haven't seen Trevor Lawrence yet.
Trevor Lawrence, yeah. I saw part of a quarter live and then, you know, watched some highlight breakdowns and stuff like that. I'm just riding a by Fields faith gut vibe here. I think he's going to be the best of the bunch. And Trevor would be the odds on favorite to be the best of the bunch there. And I'm not even taking into account circumstance, where you're playing, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Justin, man. Now that I've seen him, not being college football guy, but knowing who he was, now that I've seen him and his mannerisms and the way he handles even things from twos and threes, he's just cool, man. He's just calm. He's chill. He has a nice arm. I like how he slides with his eyes down the field. I mean, Mondiak, you know, if you're part of the Legion of Mondiacs, then there's no need to have concerns right now because the situations have not been conducive to success for Kellen Mond. But nevertheless, there are just some subtleties to the game with Kellen when I watch it back. I don't see that. I see definitely with Zach, definitely with Justin, not so much with Trey. I think Trey panics a little bit, but he hasn't played in a year and change, and he holds the ball way too long. He's going to get his head knocked off one of these times if he keeps doing it. They all have really good arms. Lance's arm, the Marshall kid's arm is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm riding a gut vibe here, man. I think the Bears got the best of the bunch in Justin Fields.
Week 8, it's Bears hosting 49ers.
Hey.
It will be Justin Fields versus Trey Lance.
Disagree.
Yes.
I may be wrong here. And we will find out because, believe me, I'll hear about it if I'm wrong.
Well, Shanahan's already walking back on saying Garoppolo's definitely the starter. Now he's saying we're not ready to announce that yet.
Okay, if you have Super Bowl aspirations, like next level Shanny does, now they are a run first team. So you can plug Trey in and make certain plays with a team that's going to run Raheem Mostert, the Sermon Cat, Wilson when he's healthy, Ayuk, and players like that.
Hey, they've got mouths to feed on the receiving court, too, man. They got Kittle. They got Brandon Ayuk.
But you ain't going to feed them with Trey Lance.
They have Deebo Samuel.
You will feed them with Trey Lance.
He's a yak monster.
I understand that, but Trey still has his five loaves. When Jimmy gets into the huddle, everybody eats. And it's been proven that he gets them to the Super Bowl running next level's offense the way it needs to be run.
Shanahan has something that he doesn't like about Garoppolo. There's something there that he wouldn't be afraid to pull the trigger.
Well, Trey has fortitude, and I'm not saying Jimmy doesn't, but Jimmy was part of a team going to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew, if anything, how to not get in the way. The fact that Trey, you know, hasn't played a game that counts in well over a year, I think that's a problem.
I agree.
And when Chris Jones hits him up in his sternum and just kills him in his first preseason game because he held the ball too long, that one play does not holding a ball, thus identifying a career make. That's not the case either. I'm just saying, when the crowd's loud and the fireworks are going off and the white horse is running through Denver the way it does or wherever they play first, that is a different. Jimmy has felt that level. Trey has not. And if you're forcing the kid in and he's not ready mentally to get the checks and everything because it comes at you fast, and he gets you beat a couple of times in that division, in this conference, you might be in a little trouble.
See, we're only seeing little windows here with Justin Fields, so I don't know how he is. You don't get the full picture of how he's synthesizing what's going on around him, what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Until the lights come on.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at the Bears schedule here, man, and I see a 6-11 season. Okay? Mm-hmm. I see us being 2-5 by the time that 49ers game rolling around.
Where'd you find wins 4-5 and 6?
No, one against the Vikings for sure.
Wait, we couldn't beat you week 17 if you rolled out there with your freaking fours and we had to win. We just can't beat, we just don't consistently enough win that week 17.
I know, you guys won at Soldier Field and you acted like you won the Super Bowl. It's like we never win in Soldier Field.
I understand.
Well, anyway, week one at Rams. Yeah. I don't see Justin Fields on the field then. Week two, Bengals. Mm-hmm. All right, Andy Dalton against his former squad. He's going to be fired up. Mm-hmm. Week three at Cleveland, Baker Mayfield. Bears could be 1-2 coming out of that game. Now, week four, home against Lions. To me, that's a very nice landing spot for Justin Fields to begin his Bears career.
Yay!
All right, because then the week after that, they're going to Allegiant Stadium to play the Raiders.
Yeah.
And Gruden, who wants to be Khalil Mack again.
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking week four now, so we'll see.
Now, with the Minnesota Vikings and the news today that Courtney Crone and ESPN reported, the Vikings are indeed going to sign Everson Griffin, which means he will have his 2021 deal guaranteed. That's what happens when you sign them before week one. Sign them after week one, it's not guaranteed. So it's, what do you think of it, man? I mean, like, if you were verbally doing a column right now, what would it be?
Well, I don't know how this works, you know, because I'm still learning the ins and outs of a pro football organization. That's why I've been loving going out to Vikings practices and just trying to feel the vibe and talk to people and just kind of get a feel for what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, we know that Everson Griffin, you know, has had one noteworthy mental outburst.
Yeah.
We also know that he has been critical of Kirk Cousins, I think, and Zimmer, too, on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they hug it out before he signs or after he signs? Mm-hmm. Do they even need to hug it out and just say, dude, water under the bridge, let's just move forward and have you come into situations and house quarterbacks?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that process is like. I would imagine there has to be some sort of conversation or someone's got to extend a hand out to the other guy, whether it's Kirk to Everson or Everson to Kirk. I got to figure they're going to have a conversation.
If Kirk is sensitive, if you believe Kirk is sensitive, I'll leave it at that.
I don't know if sensitive is a word I would describe Kirk. He doesn't seem to be sensitive.
I'm saying if, and I have a lean, but I'm just going to lay it out for everybody. If you believe Kirk is a sensitive human being, look at this. Justin Jefferson, national radio, Burrow has more swag. And like paraphrasing, more control when the situation gets hot. That's Justin Jefferson. Secondly, NFL Films, Carolina Panthers, whatever, somebody leaks. Spielman all over the kid. He's trying to get to that field spot. Okay, hold on. Just hold on. Trying to get to that field spot. All ready for the night scrimmage, TCO Stadium. Now he's by somebody who gets bit, but he didn't get bit. You know, and then he has an awkward, awful press conference where he's like, you know, the room's too small. I'm going to get plexiglass around me. Your head coach then immediately comes out and says, well, the NFL signed off on the size of the rooms per the protocol plan we just went through in 2020. So you got that bad press conference. And now you bring back a guy. Forget the fact that the individual said, Kirk, on social media, before a Vikings-Lions game, Kirk Cousins is ass. But then he said, and the coach never wanted him. That's, I mean, if you're sensitive, if you got the sensitive gene, that's tough to bounce back from right there, though.
That's true, no doubt.
Well, I guess we'll find out, right?
We will find out. But that tells you how the relationship between Zimmer and Kirk may be right now.
Oh, I mean, there's zero chance Zimmer goes to Kirk and says, We're thinking of doing this. What do you think? I'm saying zero chance.
I think you're right. Based on how you laid it out, the breadcrumbs lead you to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
You're my main man. Anything you want to chat about before we leave? Like any big columns coming out or anything?
No, not yet. I had a nice conversation with former Twins third baseman Corey Koski.
Sweet.
Who is playing town ball this year at age 48 so he can play with his sons.
Is he playing in Fairfax at Dana Kicker Field?
No, he's playing for, I can't pronounce, Laverne. Laverne.
Yeah, I think so.
And they're in the playoffs, so they play this Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he homered in his first at bat at age 48.
That's sweet.
But he also admits that everything hurts at age 48.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's at age 48, I mean, he's still a longtime Major League Baseball guy. Imagine you're the 18, 19, 20-year-old town ball pitcher, and there's Corey Koski. You're hurling up there that 82-mile-per-hour meatball, man.
Well, he got mad because he ran into a couple guys throwing 88, 89. He's like, what the hell are they doing
right.
in town ball?
Oh,
I would do this
cow.
In the majors.
Twins got any talkability right now? Alcala is coming back soon, I read. Buxton.
The big question is Buxton. Yeah. When are they going to push the button on Buxton?
Yeah.
There's people already clamoring for him to join the team now. And I'm like, dude hasn't even played back-to-back games. First game, he played 5 innings on Friday, then took Saturday off and then played yesterday when he hit the homer.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, let's stack a couple more games here before we bring Buxton back. I believe the Twins are in Boston, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're still
Did they lose to the Yankees yesterday?
The game was not played because of the hurricane.
Okay, well,
they postponed it.
I mean, the innings I was watching before that, holy cow, were they getting some hota-hota from them. Well, the Yankees are hot,
The Yankees are rolling right now, man. I think, what are they, 15-5 this month or something?
Are they a playoff team?
They have stormed into the wild card spots. They're in the wild card by 2.5 games.
Got it.
And Aaron Boone's already being touted as manager of the year because he got things turned around.
Didn't your career start in Kansas City?
Yes, it did.
Damn, man. Friday
with Bob Boone.
Thursday night, though,
yeah.
Before the Friday game, the life changer. Vikings and Chiefs, third preseason game. Let's go to, what's the name of that barbecue at the gas station? Because that's
Joe's.
That's my favorite.
It used to be called Oklahoma Joe's. Now it's just called Joe's.
Yeah, I've been to Arthur Bryant's. I've been to like 5 sneaky spots.
Have you tried Q39?
I have not.
I would recommend Q39.
This gas station.
It's near the plaza, so it's easier to get
ends.
To. Yeah.
I mean, the right kind of soul food, barbecue, however you want to lay it out, the burnt ends are the separator for me.
Yes, they're to die for there. They crush burnt ends.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, too. Be safe.
Lavelle Neal, the third columnist, Star Tribune. This is not
The Fan.
I can't wait until tomorrow. Because tomorrow might very well be too late. I can't wait.
Tomorrow.
I can't wait.
9 to noon, Rise and Shine at 9 with the Love Covenant. Maybe a more efficient, official, and organized update on this guy.
I'm a maniac, maniac to the core.
What did you think of Kellen on Saturday?
He wasn't great. It's still, there's, you know, the first thing that we always heard from the coach, and even he acknowledged it himself, the idea of playing faster, right? So I thought he was faster, and we heard the praises after the first preseason game where, okay, Kellen's starting to get it. He's getting up to speed. Wow, the command and the prowess that he's showing in practice, this is good. This is good signs.
Yeah.
And so I'm ready just for, you know, the Browning thing was cute, and it was required due to COVID things. But it's time for that to go away, and Kellen's our guy, third round pick, and all of that.
Yeah, as backup.
As backup,
okay,
yes.
Okay, well, I mean, now we can take the statement, if Cousins gets hurt, we lose every game, and take it a step farther. There's not a quarterback, Browning or Mond.
No.
They don't look close to
correct.
A requisite backup in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a problem. He had a really nice throw, and you mentioned it earlier. It was called back via penalty. There was one nice moment, a 20-yarder to Myron Mitchell, maybe, yeah. I think, and he's not going to make the team.
Yeah.
The game I think that he is going to be best at would in some ways be similar to what you'd want to run with Kirk Cousins, and that's going to be, you know, play action, he's going to boot, he's going to get outside.
Yeah.
You can't really run that effectively in an offense that, God bless him, that includes A.J. Rose and stuff like that. So in some ways, Kellen would be at his best with a higher caliber amount of talent around him. But the decision-making in itself, the fourth down play where he just throws that duck into the ground to the boundary on the far side of the field, when he had just a Moses parting the Red Sea opening up that seam there to run for 15 yards and a first down.
That's right.
The instinctual, the intuitive parts of the game will come, I believe, for a guy, from my standpoint, he is currently overthinking, overanalyzing, and is not calm despite his general chill demeanor.
With the Bismarck kid and the bad wheel, he does begin to practice limited this week for the Colts. Ellinger and Eason, did you like either one?
I think Eason throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball on a screen pass.
I know.
And so, but Eason looks the part, right?
I think Eason can play. Like, I ain't kidding you.
He has an absolute just cannon.
I know.
And the accuracy is really good on it, too.
And he's big, and he like Roethlisberger, he like does that little slide bit to get away.
I kind of like Jacob Eason. Now, Ellinger, I think he's almost better on the ground. Like, he's kind of going to be a bit player where...
Would you trade a fourth-round pick for Jacob Eason to be your backup?
Fourth-rounder?
Yeah.
Sixth rounder and I'm in.
What are you talking about? What we just saw. I mean, and the buzz gone in a little while. Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm not seeing the forest for the trees. Yeah, this is Rodgers' last year in Green Bay.
Correct.
So it all starts and stops with Aaron playing for us.
Yes.
Okay. We got to figure that out in 2022. Yeah, I understand that. Okay.
No, and all the screen printing businesses. Yeah. I mean, they've already begun production on these number 12 jerseys with the blaze orange collars. And so that's something we have to acknowledge, too.
If we were texting, but to close, my verbal response to you would have been, ha ha, wrap on the show.
And thanks to Metropolitan Ford for sponsoring said wraps. Metropolitan Ford is your truck superstore. Hey, happy Monday morning. It is fair week. Oil up the double stroller because the wheel squeaks. Food and beer, full bellies and wet beaks. Fan Twitter account for merchandise sneak peeks. The mob starts and stops so quick. Whiplash. Slight smell of dirty diapers in the trash. Goat cart track. Drunk dad involved in a crash. Smoking section. Piranha pup dusted with cigarette ash. And in the barn, watch out for milk and teats. Listen to 9 to noon. Look out for bad beats. Carousel Park, get your butts in those seats. We are analyzing Vikings preseason defeats. Got a cool combo of heaven and hell, so we're soaking in these studio days. Could you tell? Sports and real life, we have many takes to sell, including the all-knowing, informative Lavelle.
Football feast.
Podcast today's Paul Allen Show, or listen back to previous show and interviews by going to the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.